Good morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians, the first chapter. This is where I'd like to begin my thoughts this morning, and we won't be here the whole time, but I'd like to read verses 6 through 12. Galatians, the first chapter. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who would trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing here to the churches of Galatia, is discouraged. He knows that they knew what God wanted them to do, and they quickly turned away from it. Such a sad thought to see a body of Christ having followed God's will at some point and turning away. Many of us here may have even seen this in our lifetimes, churches that have met for years upon years, and all of a sudden something comes up, somebody comes in preaching to them something different, or maybe it's a certain situation that arises that causes the brethren to split. Some may just split into two separate churches, and there may be others who decide that they're not going to be a part of this anymore. Such a sad, sad situation. So the question is, how do we keep this from happening? How do we keep those who speak things which are not in accordance with Christ out? How do we keep other situations from dividing us as a body of Christ? And my answer to that is unity. Unity. To start off this thought of unity, I'd like to turn to Philippians, the first chapter. I'll start reading in verse 27, but leading up to this point, Paul is talking about how he had been in bondage, the effects it's had on him and on the gospel and on the Philippian brethren. Just before verse 27, we have the classic passage of Paul talking about whether he wants to live or to die, and the benefits from each. And we pick up in verse 27 of the first chapter of Philippians. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. He starts off with this phrase, and then continues on and asks them to be like-minded. Have your focus going in the same direction. To have the same love, everyone's focus should be on Christ. Being of one accord, it's kind of an interesting interesting term. And as I studied it, I looked and it said co-spirited. Co-spirited. And that was kind of odd to me too. And what I derived from it, all of our spirits should be seen as one. All of our spirits as one. And he continues on, as one mind. All of our minds should be as one mind. In verses three and four, we continue on there of the second chapter of Philippians. Verse three, things that can truly break down a church. Selfish ambitions, conceit. Verse four, things that we need to do to maintain the unity of our body. Having a humble attitude, with lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than ourselves. Look out not only for your own interests, but the interests of others as well. And such an example as Christ, who humbled himself to the point of death. And I'd like to note one thing before we move on to Ephesians. But the Philippian brethren here, from what I can tell, Paul felt like they were doing pretty good at this point. In the 12th chapter, or 12th verse of the second chapter, he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, as you have always obeyed." So he's making the point there that you all are obeying the gospel of Christ. But yet, Paul feels the need to tell them, hey, it's important for you to be of one mind, to esteem your brethren better than yourselves, to have a humble attitude. And let's remember this as I make that point now because I'll bring it back up later, but regardless of whether you're having trouble with something, it's important for us all to be reminded from time to time of certain things. And Paul felt like this was one of those things that they needed to know. Let's turn now to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Most of us are pretty aware of this chapter, and my knowledge of it always began in verse 4. But I'd like to begin in verse 1. Read the first three verses. Ephesians 4, verse 1. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called." Again, we're seeing walking worthy of the calling. Your conduct, worthy of the gospel of Christ. Walking worthy. And what does he follow up with? "With all lowliness of mind," verse 2. "With all lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Lowliness of mind, gentleness. Verses 4, 5, and 6. "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is through all, in all." Sorry, "who is above all, through all, and in you all." Unity. Paul again finds it necessary to exhort the brethren, or to write to the brethren in Ephesus of this thought. Verses 7 through 16 we're familiar with as well, speaking of the gifts that are given to each. And verse 16, referring to the body fitly joined together. All of this thought coming. Unity. The characteristics laid out in Philippians to the Philippian brethren, to the Galatian brethren, are ones that we need to be reminded of and to adhere to on a daily basis. The thought of unity is one that we cannot let slip by. There are so many reasons why the Ephesian brethren are one good thing. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 3, we find where Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says that, you know, "I left you there so that you can go and convict those members who are preaching false doctrines." And unfortunately, we find in Revelation's the second chapter where the church there at Ephesus had lost their first love. They were going down the right path, but somewhere along the line, they got off track. Brethren, this is what we need to keep sight of in our own minds so that we don't lose our first love as the Ephesians did. So we don't revert back to the milk as the Galatians did. So how is this applied? All these things that Paul had told them, why were they so important in keeping the church together? Consider the church at Corinth. If you were here on Wednesday night when Brother Phil gave us a great history lesson on that area and all the different things that were going on, you understand all the pressures that the church in the first century was receiving, the idolatry, the chaos, the worshiping of Greek gods, and the list goes on and on. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 10 through 13, Paul tells the brethren there in Corinth the same type of things, to be of the same mind, have the same judgment, let there be no divisions among you. Again, the same idea of what we're talking about this morning, what we've found in Philippians and Ephesians. The saints all over, not only in Corinth, were being persecuted by friends, by family, by the government, by fallen brethren, those who were among them at one time, and now they have fallen away and they're trying to drag them down. The Jews who were holding on to the law and trying to prove that Christ was not God's son, holding on to the old law. Can you not see how important it is, how important it was for them to be patient with one another, to be gentle? Galatians 6 and 1, when a brother has fallen, restore such a one in gentleness. Looking out for one another, Galatians 6 and 2, we are to bear one another's burdens. Be loving to one another, all having the same goal, all having the same mind, the same spirit. What about us today? Do we have all the same pressures that they had back then? Do we have people with idols all over the place? Well, that's arguable. The pressures may be, we might not have the same pressures that they had back then, but clearly there are pressures on the church today. And whether or not we think that anything is affecting this body right now, we need to stay ahead of the game. We've probably all heard of the new catchphrase of preventative health care. Healthcare companies are actually encouraging this, so you go in, get checked out, and catch things early so that they don't incur all these humongous costs. It's the same idea. If this body has a cold, we need to take care of the cold before it becomes a cancer, ripping it apart. So what must we do? What is it that we need to do? It all begins by the examination. Each one of us must examine ourselves and identify whether we're being patient with our brethren. Identify whether we're seeing our brethren as better than ourselves, humbling ourselves such as Christ did. Are we joined through Christ or are we joined through friendship? Think about that for a second. Are we joined through Christ or are we joined through friendship? If we're joined through friendship and an issue arises, we're going to go with our friends. We're not going to hold true to the line of what Christ would have us to do. We must be joined through Christ. We must all look to God. That must be our focus. As I mentioned, we have issues in our times. We've seen issues in the past. The catcher's side debates come to mind. From what I'm from what I understand, these were serious things that divided churches. Serious things. Phil brought us the agents of change 2 weeks ago in his lesson. Something going on right now. And brethren, there's been things in the past, there are things going on right now, and we can be sure there will be things in the future. Without a doubt. May our walk and our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. May we be unified in His Word, having the same mind, having the same spirit. We as a body, we must be pure in order for us to be acceptable to God. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole body, the whole building being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. A dwelling place of God for the Spirit, in the Spirit. We talk of our walk being worthy of the gospel of Christ, and a walk does not consist of one step, but many steps. Continuous steps that must be in line. Continuous steps that must be in line. I point us back again to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 4, 5, and 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. I hope you will all keep this in mind and consider it for yourselves. For those of you who have not obeyed the gospel call, as I read there in Ephesians 4, there is one baptism. That baptism is of Christ. At this time, we offer an invitation to those of you who may be considering taking that step, that first step of walking worthy of God, of the gospel of Christ. That invitation is open to you, and if anyone else has any other needs that they need to be addressed, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation number.